Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Spaceflight This Week, a weekly podcast by NASA Spaceflight. I'm News Director Thomas Burkhart, here with a quick recap of spaceflight news for the week of March 6, 2023. Perhaps the biggest news of the week, especially within the U.S. space launch industry, is the report from Ars Technica's Eric Berger that United Launch Alliance is up for sale. The company, one of the two trusted with the vast majority of the U.S. military space launch services, as well as the launch service provider for the Boeing Starliner crew vehicle and other government and commercial spacecraft, is currently preparing to debut the new Vulcan rocket as soon as this May. It also has a strong launch manifest thanks in part to a large number of launches for Amazon's Kuiper satellite internet constellation. While the report did not identify the potential buyers who have been contacted about the sale, speculation has included the possibility that either Boeing or Lockheed Martin could buy the other's 50% stake in the company, and ULA could become a wholly owned subsidiary of one of those stakeholders. Another possibility is a Jeff Bezos company, either Amazon or Blue Origin, could purchase ULA. Amazon, as mentioned, plans to use the company's Vulcan rocket for Kuiper missions, and Blue Origin manufactures the BE-4 first stage engines for the vehicle, while also planning to enter the medium to heavy lift market as a competitor with the upcoming New Glenn rocket in the coming years. A suitor beyond these companies is also completely possible. A pair of failure investigations were concluded this week, with the results being shared by both Astra and Ariane Space. Astra investigated the failure of Rocket 3.3 on the Tropics 1 mission in June of last year, and found the early shutdown of the upper stage to be caused by fuel exhaustion. The above nominal consumption of fuel was caused by a burn through in the ether engine's combustion chamber, caused by fuel being overheated and becoming gaseous, blocking the fuel injector. The fuel reached higher temperatures than expected because ground tests under atmospheric pressure resulted in different flow characteristics within the nozzle, and thus different temperatures in the fuel being used to cool the nozzle. Astra has incorporated both architectural choices, such as a redesigned upper stage engine and a different grade of kerosene fuel, as well as company-wide changes relating to quality control and testing as the company progresses towards the debut of the new Rocket 4 launch vehicle. In regard to the failure of Ariane Space's Vega C rocket on the VV-22 mission, Ariane Space concluded that the carbon-carbon throat insert inside the nozzle of the rocket's second stage was over-eroded. The root cause was likely due to a flaw in the homogeneity of the material. An alternative carbon-carbon material is being used going forward to correct the issue. Last Monday, the Starlink Group 6-1 mission successfully launched from Cape Canaveral with the first batch of Starlink version 2 satellites. 21 of these upgraded spacecraft were deployed into orbit on the third flight of Booster 1076, which landed on a shortfall of gravitas after launch. A video shared by Elon Musk after launch also showed that the deploy mechanism on top of Falcon 9's upper stage is changed from previous Starlink missions, and includes deploy arms that do not separate from the stage, reducing the amount of debris left in orbit once the stage is deorbited. Next up, early on Thursday, the delayed SpaceX Crew 6 mission successfully lifted off and delivered 4 new crew members to the International Space Station. After launching from the Kennedy Space Center Thursday morning, Crew Dragon Endeavour docked to the station early Friday. The first stage, Booster 1078, successfully landed on Just Read the Instructions after completing its first ever flight. SpaceX also launched the Starlink Group 2-7 mission from Vandenberg on Friday. 51 version 1.5 satellites were launched by Booster 1061, making its 12th flight. The booster successfully landed on Of Course I Still Love You after launch. It is also finally the month of Starship's scheduled orbital test flight. The orbital launch mount is almost completely closed out to protect the sensitive hardware from the upcoming launch, and the next big milestone will be Ship 24 returning to the orbital launch site following its final pre-flight preparations, preceding any final tests before the launch attempt. Amid an abnormal gap in launches from Cape Canaveral, we now know that the Department of Defense scrubbed an attempted hypersonic missile test from Space Launch Complex 46 on Sunday. Marine hazard zones at Cape Canaveral and downrange in the Atlantic Ocean were the first indications of such a test, followed by airspace restrictions over Cape Canaveral on Sunday. While the exact nature of the test was not confirmed, suspicions based on planned tests previously described by the Defense Department, as well as hardware spotted at Pad 46, point to a hypersonic glide vehicle test as the likely mission. After marine and airborne assets returned from the restricted areas with no launch occurring on Sunday, the Secretary of Defense's office confirmed to Florida Today's Emery Kelly that a launch attempt had been scrubbed. No word on when another launch will be made has been given, and may likely have to wait until another gap between orbital launches from the Space Coast. One such launch this week is the maiden flight of Relativity Space's Terran 1 from Pad 16, scheduled for no earlier than Wednesday in a window from 1 o'clock to 4 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time. Relativity will launch the first 3D printed rocket and attempt to be the first methane-fueled rocket to reach orbit. Also, JAXA and Mitsubishi are in position to make a second launch attempt for the maiden flight of the H-3 rocket today. The first attempt in February was aborted after main engine ignition due to a voltage transient within the first stage controller unit. Corrective action has been taken ahead of the scheduled Tuesday morning attempt from the Tanegashima Space Center in Japan. That's all for this week's episode of Spaceflight This Week. For more spaceflight news, check out our other podcasts, subscribe to us on YouTube, or visit NASASpaceflight.com.